Welcome to part three of the finance talk. And today I'm going to talk to the business owner. And it's going to be a little bit of an off-the-cuff conversation, a little bit short and sweet. But really, the things that I have found to be helpful as we run our businesses outside of corporate America. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Being Better Everyday podcast, where we make your days more peacefully productive while you're juggling all the things. I'm your host, Julie Wenslick, a millennial mom, finance professional, and founder of P&W Designs. I know that as a mom, business owner, corporate girlie, or a combination of all three like myself, sometimes life can feel like a lot. With the simplicity and systems in being better every day, we create the habits and routines that support your life, create calm in the chaos, and put the you back in your everyday. Grab those headphones, put on your shoes, and join me on a walk while we dig into today's episode. So, welcome, welcome again. Today, we are talking about small business finances. And again, as somebody with a finance degree and somebody with securities license, I need to say first and foremost that nothing on this podcast is investment or tax planning advice, nor is affiliated with any other organization other than P&W Designs. I am coming at you as a bestie sitting across from you with a hot cup of water, talking to a friend, and geeking out about finances. So we are just two people trying to share the information. And when it comes to small business finances, and I am talking like small business finances, micro side hustles, because I think the first thing I will say is if you are somebody who doesn't have time, doesn't understand, or wants to dive deeper into it, look into a bookkeeper, look into a small business tax accountant, somebody who specializes in tax, or I would say specializes in small businesses, specializes in entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, because my husband and I continue to manage ours ourselves, but we did hire an accountant last summer, in summer of 2023, to help us kind of project out the taxes we were going to owe for 2023. I also had then hired him to do an audit. I think it was like 2 hours to audit my QuickBooks and make sure that I was coding things right. So I'm coming at you from somebody who, yes, has a finance degree, but does not have a tax degree. And taxes is something I am not an expert on. So I will barely touch on it today because it is something that, again, I'm continuing to learn. I literally bought that book. You know, the dummy series, the yellow books, so they're like dummies. Well, I bought like small business taxes for dummies, right? Because we don't outsource it yet. We probably will someday. We don't have a bookkeeper. I would love to have one. But again, back to episode one and two, our fixed expenses are higher. So we need to be mindful of if we can do it, we're doing it on our own. And I don't mind managing our finances. I really don't. I would rather I hire somebody as for a housekeeper over my finances because I'd rather do finances than clean our house. Anyway, so let's talk about the systems that my husband and I have in place. Because again, that's kind of the point of these episodes is how do we track things? What are the best systems that I have found? And what's easiest for us? So first of all, if you are just starting to start out, whatever, and don't want to pay for a monthly service, there are free services that you can use. So for example, when we were just first starting out, probably like 3 years ago, my husband and I used an app called Wave. And it's like the car, but not. So it's called waveapps.com or Wave. I just typed in Wave Accounting and it pulls up. This actually has a free accounting software. So if you are wanting to track how much you're invoicing people, kind of track your expenses, but maybe not have it export and automatically sync to QuickBooks or TurboTax, for example. But you're just kind of like starting out and knowing you need to track somewhere and you don't want to do it in Excel, I would suggest looking into places like that. Again, we used Wave for years when we were doing more of a cash business and didn't have it grow and be complicated. Since then, my husband and I both use QuickBooks. And we actually have separate QuickBooks accounts, which also means separate subscriptions. But again, we're under different FEINs, so it makes sense for us to keep them separate. And for me, one of the things that I found out after probably 2 years in business is that QuickBooks can automatically integrate to specific systems. So for my business, I primarily, when I'm manually invoicing, and or when people are paying and ordering products through my website, most of my revenue runs through Stripe or PayPal. And so I have my Stripe automatically integrate with QuickBooks. I also have my business bank account automatically integrate through QuickBooks. And I make sure that all of my expenses get paid on that business bank account so that my expenses are automatically in QuickBooks. So all I have to do, probably once a quarter at this point because I'm lazy, is I then log in and I will code all of my revenue and expenses under the correct categories. This allows me at this point to have my information pretty hands-off. So for the first 2 years, for example, I was manually invoicing people and then having them pay me via Venmo. And what I found is that like the manual worker on that was not worth just paying the fees for Stripe. And so I do most of my business through Stripe because I can track clients. And the other thing, you know, if you're familiar with the QuickBooks system, you're like, well, why aren't you just invoicing in QuickBooks? Well, the fees are higher on QuickBooks than they are Stripe. And I just find Stripe easier. So I do everything through Stripe and it automatically integrates with QuickBooks. And again, not everything is necessarily segmented through customers, but if a customer needs a W-9 or information, then I can just kind of like manually generate it. So that would be how I, you know, have found the best system is just paying the QuickBooks monthly subscription fee, having everything automatically integrate. Pro tip here, though, is also if you have an Etsy, 100% get QuickBooks because it automatically integrates. And with all the Etsy expenses, there's just so much on Etsy that is transactional that it automatically codes all of that. So I have had an Etsy since 2020, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, most of my sales are a couple dollars, because I have a lot of like digital downloads that are $2.99. And, you know, on those $2.99 digital downloads, I probably make a dollar and everything automatically integrates. So it's really kind of hands-off passive revenue from that perspective. And again, having that system in place, I don't have to deal with any of the tax reporting around it. The other thing I will say is if you don't automatically integrate, so my husband bakes at a local small bank that I believe is a credit union. And that small bank doesn't allow integrations, which is why I keep telling him we need to switch, but I digress. So that bank is so small that it won't integrate with QuickBooks. So he has to manually input all of his information. One of the things that we have found best for him then, so his business, he runs a lawn care business. He works somewhere between 8 and 10 months out of the year. He does not do snow plowing in general. For the first couple of years when he was in business, I created a custom planner for him with all of his customers, how much he billed, and then he would just have to check off the dates that he mowed them. And then on a monthly basis, we would then generate the invoice and send the invoice under Wave. Again, that was before we had QuickBooks. That allowed us to, again, not pay any fees for managing his bookkeeping revenue or his business revenue, but it was manual and it was something that like took a lot of time out of me in particular. About 2 years ago, I forced him to get QuickBooks and we set up all of his customers on QuickBooks. And what he does after every single mow is he opens his app and inputs the mow or the, you know, the whatever, the service. And so on a monthly basis, then his invoices are already generated. He sends them and the customer pays through QuickBooks. So for me, I run my stuff through Stripe. For him, he runs it either through QuickBooks or Venmo or cash, whatever kind of the customer's preference is. But again, for him, it's just so much easier to have the app on his phone to automate because he is mowing, you know, 20 plus customers a week. When he's done with the job, he sits in his truck, opens the invoice and puts it in there so that he knows he won't forget it. And it then takes me out of the process. What is still manual for him is then expenses. And I will say this is a pain point for us as a couple is the last 2 years, he basically keeps a massive folder of every single receipt for his business, which is required and necessary, and then inputs them on an annual basis into QuickBooks. We are at a point where his business is not big enough and I pay enough in taxes from a corporate job perspective that we do not pay quarterly taxes. Obviously, if you're paying quarterly taxes, you need to at least do this quarterly. But he then like spends a month in the wintertime inputting all of his expenses. It's not how I would like it, but that is how he's doing it. And again, at least they're in there, they're coded correctly. And then again, we have snapshots of receipts and everything in case we ever needed it. It can be as simple as that, right? We have everything in one system. We both know our responsibilities. And then you can generate kind of ad hoc reporting, tax reporting, kind of income loss statements, net income statements, profitability. So let's say you outsource to a bookkeeper and the bookkeeper does everything that I'm talking about, which is great, right? Then you don't have to do it. I highly recommend on a monthly basis, you get a report from your bookkeeper of your profitability numbers. The numbers you should know. You should know your gross revenue for the month. You should know your net revenue for the month, meaning after expenses for that revenue. So for example, I have about a 50% profit margin on custom planner printables, basically no profit on planners and on my online store, unless they're the planner pads. But for example, let's say I have a custom planner refill, right? And that planner page's refill is $20. Well, then my net profit is $10 because I've already paid $10 in expenses for that, plus shipping, right? So on a monthly basis, you should know what your gross is, what your net is of expenses, and then assuming that you're setting aside money for taxes, what your net is after expenses. So EBITDA, right? So net of all of those things, right? You should know your EBITDA, right? Which is your earnings before taxes, income, or earnings before interest, taxes, amortization. It's kind of like that high level profitability number, but then also what your net is. So I'm just going to use another kind of high level example here. Let's say you're killing it, right? Your business brings in $10,000 gross a month. Right. So that is your billed gross revenue sales. But you have pretty limited expenses, but you do have some operating expenses on a monthly basis. So let's say you pay $2,000 a month in VAs, so virtual assistants that you pay to help you with your business, as well as, you know, anything that's like subscription based, right? So if you pay, this should include all of your subscriptions for your business on a monthly basis. I do have, like, for example, around $200 of subscriptions, I think, on a monthly basis for my business to help kind of run my business. So I don't make $10,000 a month. I'm just using base numbers here. Okay. So $10,000 a month is your gross number. That's how much you like generated in sales for the month. $2,000 is your expenses. So net, you're making $8,000. Then you're going to want to take kind of a base number for taxes. Now, again, you should be working with an accountant. This is not tax advice. This is just high level estimates. But let's say that, you know, your small business taxes, which is going to be your FICA, Medicare, et cetera, FICA, Social Security, is around 15%. So I am going to take 15% out of that $8,000. Let's just say $6,500. It's close. It's not exact, but so now you're down to $6,500. Well, you also need to take off 20% for just like federal, state, at least, right? And I'm going to even say 25. So total taxes, right? On that $8,000, you're taking off 40% for taxes, hopefully putting that aside so that when you pay your quarterly income taxes, and again, it's going to be unique to your situation, but I'm just ballparking 40%. So your net number after that 40%, after your expenses of the $10,000 gross, is you've netted $4,800. One of the things that you should know is that number profitable? So for example, if you need to withdraw $5,000 a month in order to live on your business or live on the income you're generating, but you're only netting $4,800, in my opinion, right, you're not profitable. So kind of knowing your numbers helps you understand what the purpose of that $10,000 is, right? You might be making bank. If you're, you know, small business is generating that much money on a monthly basis and, you know, you're making six figures, Unfortunately, with taxes and expenses, it goes down pretty quick, right? So kind of understanding, even if you have a bookkeeper, you should know what those numbers are. You should know how much you need to set aside for taxes on a monthly basis. You should know what your expenses and your net income was. You should know what you actually need to live on a monthly basis and have that as your owner's quote unquote draw, right? So for us, it's a little bit different because for my business, it's basically all side hustle money, right? We're not living on that. So for me, I have my gross number. I have my expenses from whatever I, you know, have to pay for a monthly basis. I generally don't set aside money for taxes because I'm already maxing out on all of it on my corporate job. So all of that kind of money a lot of times is extra. But then our goal is to pay, you know, put $500 a month, put $1,000 a month towards savings so that we can put that money as kind of a lump sum down on student loans at the end of the year. That's my goal this year, right? Is to generate enough money to actually make an impact on our student loans. In years past, this has definitely been kind of more of that side hustle, a little spending money, you know, going out to dinner, getting a coffee, getting some extra clothes. Like, it hasn't made a material impact as far as our long-term financial goals. My goal this year is to have it make a material impact on our long-term financial goals. My husband, on the other hand, what we do based on kind of our individual financial situation is he has, obviously, he keeps track of his business revenue. He tricks crap. Well, I wish he would keep track of his monthly expenses. He doesn't, but we do it on an annual basis. We make him set aside 15% for taxes out of his business revenue, which obviously is lower than the 40, but that's what works for us on a monthly basis. And then we take 10% of our total household expenses out of his business account. So his income net accounts for about 10% of our household income. So I make him pay 10% of the bills. That is how we do it. And that is his minimum profitability number. Again, there's a lot of expenses that come with lawn care. So it tends to be a moving target, but that's what works for us. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea around kind of the systems that we use in order to keep kind of our side hustle money or business income on track from a tax reporting and from a kind of like profitability numbers perspective. I wholeheartedly believe that even if you outsource it, which I hope you get to the point where you can, because no one wants, you know, I think a lot of small business owners, that's their first wish, is to outsource kind of that tax planning and bookkeeping, because it is hard to understand. But you should at least be getting a report on a monthly basis of like what your profitability numbers are, and then knowing what your quote unquote owner's draw needs to be from that on a monthly basis. The other thing I will stress, and I mentioned this in episode one, is around subscriptions. So in my business planning workbook that I have in my shop on pwplanners.com, it's about a 29-page workbook that helps you kind of plan out your goals, your what, your why, who your customer is. I mean, I actually plan on redoing it. I did it in January, but I plan on refreshing it because my business has kind of shifted since January. But this business planning workbook also allows you to plan out kind of your social media. It gives you a business planning metrics web or a dashboard tracker for your website, Instagram, TikTok, email marketing, podcast, etc. And I link an editable version of it. So if you do want to track and kind of create your own dashboard for growth rates, again, it's in that business planning workbook. But one of the audits that I have you do is what I call a systems audit on subscriptions. So I want you to write out your subscription name, your purpose, your payment per month, your payment per year, and any notes around it, like kind of the necessity around it. It allows you to help you understand your profitability numbers, because I felt going into it last year that I was spending way too much on subscriptions and that I was like just, you know, saying yes to whatever I thought I needed. And again, there's so many opportunities for subscriptions for small businesses to make things easier, but it adds up then. And this allowed me to say, okay, I have a $200 carrying cost per month on PW Planners, right? And I don't remember what it was, but close enough. And then it also reminds me, okay, well, my website renews in November and that's a $300 cost. So I need to make sure that I have that set aside, right? So it allows you to kind of visualize not only your annual subscriptions, but your monthly. And I recently just subscribed to a music platform. And again, that's something where I'm like, oh, I need to make sure to write that on the subscription list. So it should be kind of that ongoing list. And maybe every couple of months you audit to make sure that it's accurate because, again, things can get away from you. The other thing that you should consider as a part of your kind of business planning income planning is the investments you need to make into your business for the year. So that could be courses, that could be systems. Like for me, it's going to be a course on Adobe Illustrator. For you, it could be a coaching course or coaching resources, right? So, but again, before you make that investment, you should know how does it fit into your overall revenue goals. There is a lot of information or a lot of pressure for small businesses, especially if in the coaching area where you're like, invest in it and it'll come back to you tenfold. There is some of that, but at the same time, as somebody in finance, make sure you're making the right financial decisions for your family and knowing that you can actually afford your life before you make that investment. So again, short, sweet, a little, you know, to the point, what systems we use for our small business. I highly recommend, you know, if you don't have a good grasp on it, even if you can find a bookkeeper or small business expert, you know, outside of tax season, to get an audit to your QuickBooks, make sure you're coding things correctly, make sure that it's aligning correctly. It's something that we still need to do work on individually ourselves, but we've definitely made it more automated over the years using systems like Stripe, Venmo, QuickBooks, you know, Wave if you want to go the free route, and seeing kind of that those numbers. So again, if you have any questions, don't forget to, you know, message me on Instagram or comment on the YouTube. I will try to answer them if I'm able to. And I hope this gives you a little help into being better every day in not only your basic financial systems, your debt, but now your small business if you are running a side hustle or a business full time. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Being Better Everyday podcast. To see any visuals, head over to my YouTube channel. Links, socials, and resources mentioned can always be found in today's show notes. I truly appreciate you leaving a rating and review to help me reach more women looking to build systems to be peacefully productive. If you are looking for more, you can always find me on Instagram at julie.pwdesigns, sharing the behind the scenes of my everyday life as a millennial mom, corporate girly, and small business owner. Until next time, keep on taking one step at a time towards your version of being better every day.